जय राधा माधव कुंज बिहारी, जय राधा माधव कुंज बिहारी, गोपी जना वल्लभ गिरिवर धारी, गोपी जना वल्लभ गिरिवर धारी, यशोदानंदन व्रज जन रंजना, यशोदानंदन व्रज जन रंजना, यमुना तीरावन चारी, यमुना तीरावन चारी, जय राधा माधव कुंज बिहारी, जय गोपी जनवल्लभ गिरिवर धारी, यशोदानंदन व्रज जन रंजना, यमुना तीरावन चारी, जय राधा माधव कुंज बिहारी, ओम विष्णुपाद परमहंस परिव्राजकाचार्य अष्टोत्तर शतश्री श्रीमद हिज डिवाइन ग्रेस इसी भक्ति वेदांत स्वामी शिल प्रभुपाद की जय, अनंत कोटि वैष्णव वृंद की जय, ग्रंथराज श्रीमद भागवतम की जय, ऑल ग्लोरीज टू द असेंबल्ड डिवोटीज, ऑल ग्लोरीज टू द असेंबल्ड डिवोटीज, ऑल ग्लोरीज टू श्री श्री गुरु एंड गौरंगा, नारायणं नमस्कृत्य नरं चैव नरोत्तमं देवीं सरस्वतीं व्यासं ततो जयमुदीरयेत्। नष्टप्रायेषु भद्रेषु नित्यं भागवत सेवया, भगवती उत्तमश्लोके भक्तिर्भवति नैष्टिके। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय, ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय, ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। कैंटो 8 चैप्टर 22 टेक्स्ट 14। तस्मै बलिर्वारुणपाशयन्त्रितः समर्हणं नोपजहार पूर्ववत् नमामि मूर्धन् सुविलोलोचनः सव्रीडनीचेन मुखो बभूवः तस्मै बलिर्वारुणपाशयन्त्रितः समर्हणं नोपजहार पूर्ववत् नमामि मूर्ध्ना सुविलोचनोचनः सव्रीडनीचेन मुखो बभूवः
Please.
Tasmai unto Prahlad Maharaj. Balihi Bali Maharaja. Varuna Pasha Yantritaha. Being bound by the ropes of Varuna. Samarhanam, befitting respect. Na, not. Upajahara, offered. Purvavat, like before. Nanama, he offered obeisances. Murdhna, with the head. Ashru vilola lochanaha, eyes inundated with tears. Savrida with shyness. Nichina, downward. Mukha, face. Babhuvaha, he so became. Translation and purport by Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Being bound by the ropes of Varuna, Bali Maharaj could not offer befitting respect to Prahlad Maharaj as he had done before. Rather, he simply offered respectful obeisances with his head, his eyes being inundated with tears and his face lowered in shame. Purport. Since Bali Maharaj had been arrested by Lord Vamanadev, he was certainly to be considered an offender. Bali Maharaj seriously felt that he was an offender to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Certainly, Prahlad Maharaj would not like this. Therefore, Bali Maharaj was ashamed and hung his head. Om Agyanatmirandhasya Gyananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manobhishtam Sthapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamahyam Dadati Swapadantikam Vancha Kalpatarubhyascha Kripa Sindhubhya Evacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Srivasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare. So the situation is, I'm supposed to read more. Text 15. When the great personality Prahlad, thank you, that's a saving grace. Because I was like, what am I going to say in four lines? When the great personality Prahlad Maharaj saw that the Supreme Lord was sitting there, surrounded and worshipped by his intimate associates like Sunanda, he was overwhelmed with tears of jubilation. Approaching the Lord and falling to the ground, he offered obeisances to the Lord with his head. Text 16. Prahlad Maharaj said, "My Lord, it is your Lordship who gave this Bali the very great opulence of the post of heavenly king. And now today, it is you who have taken it all away. I think you have acted with equal beauty in both ways. Because his exalted position as king of heaven was putting him in the darkness of ignorance, you have done him a very merciful favor by taking away all his opulence." Purport. As it is said, Yasyaham anugranhami harishyet tad dhanam shanaihi. It is by the mercy of the Lord that one gets all material opulence. But if such material opulence causes one to become puffed up and forget the process of self-realization, the Lord certainly takes all the opulence away. The Lord bestows mercy upon his devotee by helping him find out his constitutional position. For that purpose, the Lord is always ready to help the devotee in every way. But material opulence is sometimes dangerous because it diverts one's attention to false prestige by giving one the impression that he is the owner and master of everything he surveys, although actually this is not the fact. To protect the devotee from such a misunderstanding, the Lord shows special mercy The Lord, showing special mercy, sometimes takes away his material possessions. Yasyaham anugrunhami harishye taddhanam shanaye. So here is Bali Maharaj, we've been discussing, who is incarcerated. He has Varuna's handcuffs, if you will. It was not just handcuffs, but he's tied up with ropes. And he has just lost all of his kingly power. He's being treated as a petty criminal. And everyone's watching. When no one's watching, it's not so difficult. When everyone's watching, it's more difficult. And if it happens publicly. In the case of, you know, if Bali Maharaj one night in his dream, or Vamana Dev just appeared when he was all alone and took away all his wealth and tied him with a rope and went away, the embarrassment is not so much than when it happens publicly. But here it's happening publicly, in front of everyone, and he's the king. That's even worse. Having been in such a high position of power and fame, and now he's tied up. And to make things worse, Prahlad Maharaj comes there. When I say make things worse, it's only for this situation right now. It's actually for the betterment. But it seems like that. Let's draw a parallel. When we were children, and let's say we did something silly, we slapped a friend, we stole their chewing gum or pencil, possible, happens. As long as it's within the friends, it's fine. When it goes to mom and dad, things become worse, right? It's like, oh no, I don't want my dad to know. I definitely didn't want my dad to know, or my mother to know, because then the sense of embarrassment is greater. So in this case, Prahlad Maharaj's grandfather has come. So there are two ways a person feels either embarrassed or afraid in two situations. One is when the superior is known to be very, very angry, or, you know, someone who can punish very badly. So we don't want the superior to know, because then there is punishment. And a person is afraid of punishment. That's one. Like, you know, in our situation, something goes wrong and we say, oh, the GBC knows about it. Oh my gosh, now the GBC knows about it. It's like that. Or the other is when that person is very, very loving. Then our sense is, oh, this will make them very sad or unhappy or disappointed. I don't want that. This is the latter. Prahlad Maharaj is not the type who's going to punish. But he's very loving. He's very loving towards Bali Maharaj. And so now when Prahlad is also in the situation, then until 2 verses ago, or 3 verses ago, Bali Maharaj said, I'm not ashamed. Right? Remember that verse? I spoke on Tuesday. And he said, I'm not ashamed. It's not out of arrogance. He is talking to Vamana Dev that, yes, I'm not feeling ashamed. I'm feeling jubilant that you're taking away from me all of this. But as soon as Prahlad Maharaj comes, he says, Murdhana, first of all, he says, Ashru Vilola Lochana. Ashru is tears. Right? We sing every day in the morning, Romancha Kampa, Romancha Kampa Ashru. Romancha, the hairs on the body. Romancha means they're all standing on end. And Ashru, Ashru means with tears in one's eyes. Tears, Ashru is tears. So Ashru Vilola Lochana, his eyes are filled with tears because Prahlad Maharaj is here. And he is unable to offer respects to Prahlad as he was doing before. Na upajahara purvavat. That's the second line. Upajahara means to give or to offer. And na upajahara, he is not able to offer purvavat, like before. When he would meet Prahlad Maharaj, he would fall on the floor, dandavat. Right now he's tied up, so he can't fall on the floor to offer respect. So all he does is murdhana. Murdhana means the head. He says murdhana nichina mukha. Nichina mukha means with his face looking down. So we discussed a few days ago that when there is pride, the chest swells up and the chin and nose go up. Right? That's the sign of pride. If you see any statue of a proud person, and when that pride is removed, one becomes ashamed. That's the body language. Shame makes a person look down, pride makes a person look up. This is just how it is. So now he's with his face down, as we say, head hung low in shame. There are two reasons. One is because Prahlad Maharaj is here, it's embarrassing. Second, and perhaps more important, is that he's unable to offer proper respect to Prahlad Maharaj. Now, can you think of another situation where a very great person is in a situation where another great person or a greater person has arrived, but the first one, the former, is unable to offer respect to the latter? It's there in the Bhagavatam. Daksha can offer respect, he just doesn't. This is inability to. It's too loud. Can you cut down the volume a little bit? I like to hear my voice, but not so much. Bhishmadev. Very good. Bhishmadev. Bhishmadev, his body, he's not incarcerated, but his entire body is pierced with arrows. And he's lying down on that bed of arrows. His body is in severe pain. He's unable to move. And of all times, that's the place where Lord Krishna, all the sages and the Pandavas, Krishna didn't come alone, all the sages came. Vyasadev, Devala, Asita, there's a whole list. They all came. When great persons come, at least for a cultured person, how to stay without offering respect? It's a very difficult situation. And here, Bali Maharaj offered his respect to Prahlad Maharaj simply by his head, by bowing down his head without the rest of the body also acting with it. In Bhishmadev's case, Bhagavatam says, he offered his respect in his mind. Just from his mind, he offered respects and used proper befitting words to offer respect. Now, most of us, either because of some physical inability, or mostly out of laziness, that's primarily the case, may not offer obeisances properly. I know I found myself sometimes not do it properly when reading this one. So, I need to change that. One of the four things that Krishna asks of Arjuna and all of us is to reach him without any doubt. Meaning for sure, one will reach him when one does four things. Manmana, always think of him. Madhyaji, worship him. Namaskuru,
offer him obeisances. Madbhakta, become his devotee. Manmana bhava madbhakta madhyaji mam namaskuru. So this namaskuru, the idea of offering respects by actually offering obeisances, is a very, very important feature of devotional service. Because we may say, why does everyone bow down? Why should everyone bow down? Because access to Krishna, or Krishna's mercy, however, access to Krishna or Krishna's mercy coming through Guru and the devotees who are more advanced than us, comes when we take a humble position. Because mercy flows from a higher position to a lower position. And a devotee who places himself or herself consciously in a lower position actually gets the mercy. The devotees are meant to be mercy hounds. We're always searching for that mercy. Wherever you get a little bit, a devotee is said to jump in and take that opportunity. So devotees are considered opportunists. They love any chance to get mercy of Krishna. And the mercy of Krishna comes in different ways. It comes mainly from realization. You notice, whenever we get a realization, it's an indication of Krishna's mercy. It may be a simple thing. We read something, we didn't realize it or understand it previously, and suddenly we understand. We may think that, oh, because I've read it multiple times, I've understood it. That's not how it works. Thank you. Realizations or understanding of scripture is different from understanding or reading of any other book. Some books, when you read again and again and again, we may understand. But scripture is not like that. The reason we read again and again and again is to show Krishna that I'm very eager to know you. So Krishna, when he sees that eagerness, then gives a little understanding. Because you know that one who has that eagerness, even if they're illiterate, they will understand. But someone may be very literate, but they can't understand. In Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's pastimes, when he went to Sri Rangam, he met a person who was holding the Bhagavad Gita, and his eyes were filled with tears while he was reading. When Chaitanya Mahaprabhu saw more closely, he saw that this person was holding the Bhagavad Gita upside down and still crying. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was surprised. Excuse me, sir, you're holding the book upside down, but still you have tears in your eyes. What's going on? He says, my Guru Maharaj asked me to study Bhagavad Gita every day, but I'm illiterate. I don't know how to read. Because he asked me to read every day, I'm following his instruction. So then he asked, well, if you can't read, what are you understanding? He said, I don't know. Whenever I hold the Bhagavad Gita, this picture, this vision of Krishna driving Arjuna's chariot comes to mind. And I think, how kind Krishna is, that he is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Ishvara Parama Krishna, yet is the humble servant of his own devotee. How is it possible? When I think of it, I can't hold my tears. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, you've understood Bhagavad Gita better than anyone has. So it's not about literacy, it's about mercy. So anything we understand and are able to express it back is only mercy of Krishna. So that needs to be demonstrated to Krishna before he can give that mercy. In Nectar of Devotion, he says he happily gives someone wealth, although the next purport is he will happily take it away too. But he happily gives someone wealth. He will happily give someone even liberation. But as far as bhakti, he holds it back. It's his prerogative. Because by bhakti, he can be overpowered. So he's careful. By liberation and wealth, no one can overpower Krishna. So he gives it freely. You want money? Sure. You want opulence? Take it. You want beauty? Take it. You want knowledge? Take it. You want liberation? Take it. You want bhakti? Fake it. You can't get it. No way. He won't give you. Because by bhakti, I become subordinate to the devotee. That's what Krishna is careful. So obeisances are a method, or is a method, by which we can evoke Krishna's mercy, or the guru's mercy, or the superior's mercy. It's just an off. It's a way of showing, demonstrating by one's body. Of course, it should also be in one's mind. Just the show of it may not take us too far. It'll take us somewhere. At least we're showing it. Definitely it should be in the mind as well, that we are coming in front of Krishna, and instead of mechanically bowing down, we bow down, saying, "My dear Krishna, I'm here to seek your mercy." So obeisances are very, very important. And we have great examples. Raghunath Das Goswami, he was 70 years old. He was very, very frail, and he had taken a vow that every day he will offer obeisances to 1,000 Vaishnavas. So when we are young, of falling on the floor and getting up is not difficult, it's very easy. But as a person's body becomes older, the joints and the spine, the hip, the neck, the knees, they all begin to tighten up. And the same nimbleness that was there before was not there. So to bend down and to get up is difficult. He's already 70 years old. In Raghunath Das Goswami's case, it is said, and it was not the obeisances like we do, half with our knees and elbows. Obeisances means full dandavats. Of course, nowadays, dandavats, our obeisances to each other is just vancha. Hey, Haribol, vancha, Prabhu. I heard there were some youngsters who would even say, this is we, vancha. We should offer properly. So when Raghunath Das Goswami would offer obeisances, that's it. If someone did not help him get up, he could not get up on his own. So he would offer obeisances and say, stay like that till someone came and said, "Oh, sadhu, you're on the floor." And they would pick him up. And he'd say, "Oh, you're a Vaishnav?" Back on the floor. When you're like this, it's easy to breathe. When you're on the floor with your face down, breathing is also difficult. We have nice... We should consider these details. It's just inspiring. We have nice polished floor that's swept by Vaishnava Sevananda every day very nicely. God bless him. He never fails in his service, whatever is going on. And so it's easy. But imagine Vrindavan in the old times, where there is no road, no proper floor, it's just soft dust. And you go down, and when you inhale, you know, you get so much dust in your face is full of... But that's how he was. He would fall flat. Offer obeisances. Still someone would pick him up. And the next person he would see, he'd fall flat again. Another is in Ramanujacharya's pastimes. There's a very special lesson in this. Ramanujacharya was in a particular place. I forget the place. And he heard that one of his gurus was walking to that place, that village, to come meet him. He was coming with all his instruments and stuff. So there was a dry riverbed. And I don't know if you have any idea of South India, how hot it can get. And a riverbed gets hotter because it is sand. If you ever walk bare feet on sand, you'll know. So there was riverbed. The Guru and his followers were on that side, and Ramanujacharya and his followers were on this side. So naturally, when they heard the Guru's coming, nowadays the culture is different. We let the person come all the way to our door. Previously, the culture was when you hear they're coming, you run and meet them somewhere outside and you bring them along. You hear Krishna returns to Dwaraka, they all go out and receive Krishna and bring him back in. When Dasarath Maharaj heard that Vishwamitra had come, all went to receive him and bring him in. This is just culture. So Ramanujacharya and his followers, they ran bare feet across that riverbed. Okay. And that Guru also came. So they lay flat on that hot sand to offer obeisances. And it's very, very hot. So the Guru just stood there without saying anything. So the person's body was charred, was just burning with that heat. Till Guru says, "Oh, my dear child, get up." Obviously, they wouldn't get up. So he was just laying flat like that. Then one of the other disciples, they took that person's body on their own body while they were offering obeisances. So they were like a double obeisances. As a service to their guru, they were under that guru's body so that they will take the heat and not the guru. Then that person told Ramanujacharya that among all your disciples, this is the person you can trust the most. Because this person will put their own body at risk. They will put their life at risk for you. This is how a surrendered disciple is. He waited just to demonstrate. So obeisances are very, very important, very special. And here Bali Maharaj is unable to offer that. So he's very sad, ashamed. Now, Prahlad Maharaj, who's come on scene, then turns to Vamana. And he sees Vamana sitting there, being worshipped by all his followers very nicely. And he says to Vamandev, "What you have done with Bali is very befitting, very nice. Because it's by your grace that Bali got this entire kingdom. And it is by your grace that the kingdom has gone away. What has remained is your grace." Right? So that's most important. For a devotee, it's not what comes and goes. That's the lesson. Sometimes possessions come, possessions go. Facilities come, facilities go. Abilities come, they go. What remains, or what is supposed to remain, is the feeling of Krishna's mercy. When a person is only concerned about what is coming and going, then they cannot see Krishna's mercy. Because their value of what they have, or their value of themselves, is according to what they have. And if they lose something, then they lose value about themselves. So the word used is prestige. So for our brahmacharis here, do you know the difference, or can you tell me the difference or definition of pride and false prestige? What is pride and what is prestige? Where does pride come from? It's the sense of who I am. So we know from Bhagavatam that all of our problems fit into two buckets or two categories. Right? What are those two buckets? You said yes. It's the bucket of I and the bucket of mine. Aham mama iti. All of our problems, you boil it down, you go and analyze whatever problem any one of us has. If you remove the layers and the way it manifests, you bring it down, it can fit only these two categories, I and mine. There's no third category. So the I has to do with pride, who I think I am. I am the ex-president. It doesn't mean anything. It doesn't mean anything. But I am the ex-president. I am zonal supervisor. What is that? It's nothing. So even the name doesn't sound so good. But anyway. Or I am the leader for this one. I am the husband. I am the this. I'm rich. I am not. I'm poor. Whatever. I get the idea. Or I've been in the ashram for a very, very long time. I've completed 3 full months. I am senior to others. Whatever. It's the sense of I. I'm very educated. I'm good looking. I'm this. I'm that. I'm strong. You know. I'm doing well. I'm intelligent. I. And mine is all that I have. So this sense of prestige comes from what I have, or what I think I have. And false prestige is when I give those things more value than they actually have. That's called false prestige. So anything in this world, other than one's own bhakti, is something that will go away. Because either I will go away, or mine will go away for sure. The reason people suffer is because they have a wrong sense of I and they have a wrong sense of mine. And because this I think is mine, I hold on to it very strongly. And time factor takes it away from me. People can't accept it. They suffer from denial. They suffer from, oh, I can't have it anymore. So false prestige is when we give value to that which really does not have value. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu lists them. Dhanam, Janam, Sundarim, Kavitam, Jagadisha. These are the categories. Wealth, Janam, friends and family and all of that. Not that they're not important. They're very important. But a wrong sense of thinking that my value is because of that, that's where the suffering is. Sundarim, whatever beautiful possessions or beautiful people that I are mine. Kavitam, people's adoration of me. Jagadisha, my ability to control other people, be a leader of, you know, some power or influence over others. These are all items or categories of things that are concerned with mine. So Prahlad Maharaj is instructing us that Bali at one point wrongly thought that he is the owner of this world. And you showed him that that is not the case. This is your special mercy. See, there is bliss in two conditions. One in ignorance. Right? It's called ignorance is bliss. People who are ignorant are very happy. Have you noticed that? Have you noticed that? People who are ignorant are very happy. People who are very enlightened are very happy. It is between the sadhakas like us, we are the ones who are suffering because we know this is not true and that we don't have. We are stuck in between. And that is our problem, is where we can't be blissful. Sometimes we see the devotees, they're doing the most blissful process, but they look so sad. Because we know this is not true. Whereas in the Bhagavad Gita, Arjuna says, I'm like a riven cloud. I don't belong here. I don't belong there. I don't have the the juice of tasting, you know, Krishna's bhakti rasa. I don't have that. I know for sure that there's no fun in ignorance. I can't do that. I don't want to. I don't get that. And I'm stuck in middle. That's why the sadhakas are like this. Neither this or that. So ignorance, someone can be very blissful. One who's enlightened is very blissful. But in ignorance, one is blissful in a very foolish way. Therefore we say, Om Agyana Timira Andhasya. That we're very grateful that that ignorance has been dispelled. And we've been given a higher taste. So we want to be blissful in enlightenment. And this is that enlightenment. It is very liberating to know I don't own anything. Because as soon as we own something, there is this pressure to maintain it. There is this pressure to keep it going. Now Prahlad himself is a king. It's not like he's a beggar who's saying, I don't own anything. He knows. But he's saying, thank you for helping Bali understand that he's not the possessor of these things. So Krishna shows mercy and then very special mercy. When he shows mercy, he gives a person great opulence. And then when he shows special mercy, he takes away that opulence. So the question is, what mercy do we want? Krishna, just give me this mercy. Special mercy, I'm not ready for it right now. I like the mercy part, the Maha mercy I don't want right now. When he gives mercy, when he gives all the opulence, and we notice that in the case of Dhruva Maharaj, Bali Maharaj, Prahlad Maharaj, all these great persons, when they get these things of the world, they're not interested in it. Swamin Kritarthosmi Varam Nayache. Prabhupada quotes about Dhruva Maharaj that after he received the darshan of Vishnu, and then Vishnu said, what would you like? You've been standing on one leg, not eating anything, not drinking anything, breathing once only in 15 days. 15 days later, it's like, wow. What do you want? Oh, I don't want anything. No, there's a reason. You wanted some kingdom, didn't you? Oh, no, those were broken pieces of glass. I see this beautiful diamond, you, in front of me. No, but you will become the king. Oh, I don't want to be the king now. You will. That is why you will be the king. Because as long as you wanted it, you will not get it. Once you say, Krishna, I don't want it, it is yours, it comes. So then we should be careful. We don't trick Krishna. There's this joke of, one Jai Baldev also said, that there's this joke of a person who prayed to Krishna. Oh my dear, oh God, what does, you have so much wealth, you have so much wealth, that for you, $10 million is like one penny. God said, that's true. So he said, can I have one penny? And Krishna said, yes, in one moment. Because Mahavishnu's one moment is the life of Lord Brahma. He said, yes, in one moment you can get it. Another one is Jai Baldev. I don't hope to spoil it. There was a guy who I think somehow God appears in front of him and he says, you have only one wish. If you can make that one wish, what would that be? He thought about it and says, my only opportunity. He says, oh God, can I have $1 million? And God said, sure. And the next moment he was surrounded with 1 million deer. Because a buck is a male deer, right? So Krishna is very tricky. We cannot offer prayers and manipulate him. Hiranyakashipu tried to manipulate. And Krishna fulfilled every of his desire, but showed up as Narsingadev. So this The idea here is the real value, the real prestige is to have this relationship with Krishna. That is more value. And Prahlad Maharaj is showing us that if we have value for something other than our relationship with Krishna, then that's going to bring some distress. The only thing of value, the only aham and mama that a devotee should have is I'm a servant of Krishna. And mama is that I have a relationship with him. This is my relationship with Krishna. Only these two things should be in that category is the instruction we're getting. Now, getting there naturally is a lifelong mission. But that's the lesson for us. Of course, I'm way far from it. But that's the lesson. Aham and mama, these are the only two things. And when we have a wrong sense of aham, we will have a wrong sense of mama. And all problems come from that. Aham mama iti. This is Kunti Devi's prayer. Even Rishabh Dev's teaching. Umsa striya maithuni bhava metu tayoho. Tayo means both of them. Hridaya granthe mahoho. Aho graha kshetra sutapta vittir janasya mohoyam aham mama iti. Janasya mohoyam. All of creatures, all living entities in this world are under illusion about this aham and mama. So the only aham is jivera swarupaya krishnara nityadas. My only identity is I am a servant of Krishna. And my only possession is my relationship to Krishna. Any questions, comments, thoughts? Giridhari.
Krishna. I have two questions. First question is, who is Varuna?
Who is Varuna?
Yeah, and how did he get into the picture? Where did his ropes come from? Does he just go around roping people up?
Who is Varuna and why his ropes are so important? Have you read Mahabharata at all? In Mahabharata there is a description that each of these demigods, because they're very powerful, they empower certain weapons. You've heard Brahmastra. So like that. Brahmastra has nothing to do with Lord Brahma. This is Brahmastra because it has a special atomic power. Then there is called Varunastra. That weapon is empowered by Varuna. Varuna is the demigod of water. Then there is Nagastra, certain snakes, celestial snakes, they empower that weapon. So in Mahabharata, when there is a description of Arjuna fighting with Karna or fighting with someone else, he says he loaded on his bow the such and such weapon. And what they do is when they load that weapon, they have a particular mantra that they invoke, and that demigod then empowers that arrow and does certain things. Either it will create heat, it will create water, it will create lightning flashes, whatever. So Varuna is the demigod of water. He appears many times in Krishna book, and among the different ropes or things to tie them down, Varuna's ropes are very special. They're like handcuffs. So you know the police carries handcuffs. Like these great persons, they can carry Varuna's empowered ropes. That means that the knot is so tight and secure. So you know police uses zip ties, handcuffs, plastic, steel. I don't have so much experience about handcuffs, but I'm just from what I've learned here and there, just for the record. So there are different means by which a person can be incarcerated. The Varuna's ropes, Varuna Pasha, Pasha means rope, they're very strong. So a person cannot easily break them. Even Hanuman was tied up with Varuna's ropes when he was captured in Lanka. So Varuna is the demigod of water. So in Krishna book, if you get a chance, when Nanda Maharaj, he has his day and time mixed up about a particular fasting. So when he takes bath in the Yamuna, Varuna kidnaps Nanda Maharaj. And then Krishna goes to Varuna's palace. If you see the picture in Krishna book, Varuna is sitting on his throne. There's all water around and fish swimming here and there. There's a picture in Krishna book. So that is Varuna, Lord of the waters. Anyone else? Oh, so what's your second question?
Is it okay if I ask two questions?
It is okay. We'll just pay $10 later.
Okay. Just kind of meditating on the feeling of when practicing devotional service of being tied up. Sometimes it feels like don't really have a choice. Like if I were to follow like my mind and senses, it would take me somewhere else. Instead, I'm like, you know, kind of tied up by devotional service. So I wonder if you could elaborate on that feeling, like.
There's a difference. We use the word tied up. Actually, in devotional service, we are being disciplined. Prabhupada says, disciple means disciplined. So, previously, we were like the, what are wild horses called? Mustangs. The Mustangs that freely run wherever they like. But to domesticate the horses, then they have to be trained in a particular way, and they don't like it. And they have to be tied. They put a rope through their nose. That's how bulls are also domesticated. Otherwise, they would be just doing anything. They put a rope through the bull's nose. You know that, right? It's there in the Bhagavatam. Once you put a ring in the bull's nose, then even a child will pull the ring, the bull, poor fellow has to follow, is overpowered by that ring or that rope through the nostrils. It is a way of domesticating them. So we have certain rules and regulations that feel that make us feel like we are constrained, but it is to culture us. Otherwise, if we're freely running, is too difficult to become human beings. So we have many boundaries, if you will. And these boundaries are necessary to bring about the proper culture. Now we can choose not to stay, that's fine. Just we don't become cultured as devotees. And if we choose to stay, then something good will come out. Something devotional will come out by the empowerment of one's guru. See, as long as one did not meet a guru, there were no regulations in one's life. So only when we meet a guru, that's when everything else comes. Because the guru is interested in directing us. So we shouldn't think of them as binding, we should think of them as directing. You know, the common example used is for a river, for it to move towards the ocean, one thing is very necessary, bank. If the river does not have banks on both sides, the river cannot reach the ocean. The water gets dissipated. Sometimes when the river swells, you see that the water dissipates, right? So it is said that Yama and Niyama, the rules and regulations, they are like the banks that allow the mind to to flow to Krishna. The do's and don'ts. They're very, very important. And in all spiritual lines, these two are always there. The do's and the don'ts. So we should not think of them as binding, we should think of them as directing. Change the picture. The visual is that we're being directed. Okay, who's next? Well, he is, and first.
I have a brief question, but maybe at the end of class, Raghunath Das Goswami obeisances reminded me of your wedding you told me a few years ago. But my question is, maybe you could explain that. But my question is that when Krishna takes everything away, even though he may get rid of our pride, but then we become envious potentially. So can you explain maybe a little bit about
what
that?
What was that? You took me to my wedding.
Sorry.
I was thinking of that picture. I'll tell you that story. He's thinking of obeisances and our wedding. I don't know how he remembers these things.
When Krishna takes things away, he gets rid of our pride, potentially. But then we have another obstacle. When we don't have anything, we become envious and mad at everyone else who has more than us. So.
When things go away, a person can become envious. But when they see that Krishna is taking away, then there is sufficient realization that it is relieving. Without sufficient realization, Krishna doesn't take anything away. He knows. And he will only take away as much as we can tolerate. In these great persons' lives, they're able to tolerate and bear it. So it's okay. In our case, if he took everything away, we would probably also go away. Like, I don't want this. I don't want Krishna. So he's careful. He knows. So envy is only for persons who don't understand that it is Krishna. So in all of this, the message is to go beyond the immediate circumstance to see Krishna's hand in it. As far as my wedding, we had 400 guests and we were supposed to offer obeisances, 500 Hemangis. We were supposed to offer obeisances to them, and our priest told us, just stand on the stage and offer obeisances one time and be done with it for everyone. Right? You know, like a group obeisances. I was foolish. I said, no, we'll do it one by one to every person. So by the time we paid 500 obeisances, that evening I couldn't stand, I couldn't sit, I couldn't move. I was so paralyzed because my body was hurting to get down on the knees, get up. So anyway, that's crazy. Okay, any other question, comment? Oh, Karunanidhi.
Yeah, the question is related to that, Prabhu. That how, my question, I don't understand. Although Bali Maharaj, he surrendered everything to Lord Brahman, but why he was tired, why he was bound? What is the reason?
Exactly that reason. That Krishna was showing, I've said this in the past, for every one of us, our tolerance, our humility, our gentleness, whatever that quality, has a limit. As long as we are within that limit, we can exhibit, you know, our qualities. When we hit that limit, our lower nature comes up. For example, if nobody said Haribol to me, I can tolerate it. At some point, if I'm insulted, right, I can't. My lower nature will come out. I know, I was behaving like that. Something will come out. Something other than those qualities. Because it has a limit. So each of us, Krishna pushes to that limit once in a while. And then we get to see, ooh, where did that come from? As we hit that limit. Right? In Bali Maharaj's case, he's showing us, it doesn't matter where you do, how far you take it, there's no limit to his submission. Atmanivedana. So he took away his wealth, he didn't say ouch. He took away all of his land, he didn't say ouch. He took away the, put the foot on his head, he didn't say ouch. He was tied with ropes, he didn't say ouch. he was going to be taken away to Sutala planet, he won't say ouch. That quality is there in depth to a very, very deep extent. This is the pure devotee situation. So Krishna can test and bend and bend and bend the devotee as much as he wants, and the devotee is not going to say ouch. We may not be able to. We all have that limit somewhere where it all stops and that lower nature will... So he's showing, this is Bali Maharaj. Is that right? That quality is very, very deep. Showing, is, and Bali Maharaj is showing, no? In Bhagavad Gita we read, insult, a person who is insulted, for a sthita pragya, insult doesn't matter, right? Or fame. So here is being insulted. If I had time, I'll explain more in Bhagavad Gita, but I don't have time right now. Tyree had a question.
Hey, Bo Prabhuji. My question is, if you get a sense of, you know, one of your god brothers or god sisters going through that phase of, you know, kind of being sad because they don't know if they can go this way or that way, like you discussed briefly, how can we encourage them? Is it passages that we can, you know, that you know off the top that we can direct them to elevate their mood from being in that sad place? You know, if someone is a nice devotee and they take to the path of bhakti, become sad, how can we, like, encourage them to elevate their mood?
There are two kinds of sad people. Mm-hmm. One who wants to get out of it and one who wants to stay in it. Mm-hmm. So it depends. If someone wants to stay in it, if you're too happy around them, they'll become angry with you. Why are you so happy? You have that experience? So there are two kinds of sad people. One who wants to stay there, one who wants to get out of it. One who wants to get out of it, then there are many things to do. Because they have an intention to come out of it. Some people don't want to. They like their sadness. Because it's very comforting. Because when they pity themselves, it's so... it's comforting, unfortunately. Second is, somehow we also think, as people within this world with modes of passion, that somehow the solution must also be immediate. If we are sad or someone else is sad, we don't want to see that. We want to change that. Sometimes it's, you have to learn when to and when not to, of course. We can always go and say, looks like you're dealing with something, can I be of any assistance? And if they say, no, not right now, then we respect that. Sometimes that sadness or something is important for them to have deeper realizations. It's important. But how to know when and how long and all that? So we always say, I'm here if you need something, let me know. Can I be of any assistance? And they need that time. Some people need that time. And Krishna maybe, you know, even if we say something very nice, if Krishna wants them to learn something, he's not going to change that situation very quickly either. It's because some deeper lessons may be there. You know, in a washing machine, you have different grades of washing. One is called normal, then there is called pre-soak. Something is called, you know, delayed timer, you soak for longer and all that. So it depends upon how much grease and, you know, dirty the cloth is, you soak and pre-soak and, you know, or normal. It's to that degree. So Krishna knows how much. Okay, any final question, comments? Thira?
When you were talking about discipline, I was thinking, when being disciplined, there are two phrases which are being usually used, like acting from the mind and acting from the heart. So, how to know from where we are acting and how to move from acting from the platform of the mind to acting from the platform of heart.
In Bhakti Shastri, we did a whole exercise, no? Or a question. How do we know when the mind is operating versus Krishna giving realization? Do you remember that? Chapter 10, verse 10. We did that little thing the other day. How do we know? We cannot know. It's usually mixed. So then how to know that Krishna is speaking? Then there are the deeper one is, or the stronger one is devotionally. Then, and it is what we are thinking is consistent with scripture, and someone like a guru and sadhu endorses it, then we are safer. Otherwise, it's a mix. Mostly it's a mix. There is so much more filtering in the mind. That's the 10-10. We did that exercise the other day. Okay, anything else? Oh, you have something, Mataji?
In this particular circumstance, Bali Maharaj had lowered his head in shame. He'd indicated that, it's the opposite physical movement to pride. So Bali Maharaj was feeling shame for, in some way, having wronged the Lord Vamanadev. So his particular shame was in connection to his having had pride, or his particular shame was for the some sort of awareness that his previous actions of possessing, or sense of possession of the three sections of the universe, was the cause of his having wronged Lord Vamanadev?
I think they're similar, because pride has the quality that it makes a person, we say, blind. Blind means it removes awareness of the reality. Hiranyakashipu was proud that his awareness of the reality of things around him was lost. So when there is a realization, then there is genuine regret. So Bali Maharaj has that realization, especially when Prahlad Maharaj is also there, is that realization that, oh, that pride has blocked me from being aware of my constitutional position. So the purport, Prabhupada says, the Krishna's mercy is that he will always show the devotee his constitutional position. The Lord bestows mercy upon his devotee by helping him find out his constitutional position. That instead of being the enjoyer of matter, I am the servant of Krishna. That realization is helping him. That previously, I did things, forcibly took away this three parts of the universe, thinking I'm someone very great. And now Vamana has helped me. So it's both. It's the pride and the realization from it that, oh, I missed out, and Vamana has helped me. Okay. Thank you very much. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai.